And good morning again.
Good morning.
We are back in the book of Acts this morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter 6, first seven verses this morning. We're going to make our way to a man called Stephen, and we're going to see him in the next couple of weeks. But this morning, Acts 6. 1-7. Last week we did spiritual gifts and serving in the church, and this week we're going to look at the church serving, so it's more service. Maybe that's a call to some of your hearts out there this morning. We've got many places to serve. The last few weeks we've been serve. Been telling us that by God's word. So we've got many places to serve here. Teachers, nursery, preschool church, all kinds of things you can do for your church here on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. And we're going to look at more of this today in Acts chapter 6. I've seen this post quite a bit online. It's about a math teacher. You see these memes that's circulating, and it's a math teacher writing on the board, multiplication tables, doing the 9. So 9 times 0, 9 times 1, all the way through 9 times 12, and they get to 9 times 2, and they write 17. Hopefully everybody knows that's not correct.
No.
They finish the tables, and what do you think the focus of the class was? 9 times 2 is not right. Teacher, you got it wrong. It's not 17. That's the focus. The one that was wrong, not the 12 that are right. I think that's 92% correct. That's how the world operates, right? Focuses on the wrong, focuses on the bad, focuses on the negative. 12 correct, 1 incorrect. Can't see the 12 that are correct because of the 1. It says a lot about the world and the response to that. It also says a lot about us when we need to correct something. What's our response when we need to correct? We can't leave it at 17, right? 9 times 2 will never be 17. You can't leave it as 17 in your life. You have to correct it. What's our response when we're needing to correct something in our lives individually and as a church? It reveals a lot about who we are. Today we're going to see this in our text. The church in Acts is growing, expanding, and they're confronted with an issue. We're going to see how they respond, and it's going to reveal who they are this morning in three parts. Church growth has problems. Church growth has solutions. And the gospel makes anything possible.
Amen.
Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Let's stand together as we read God's word. Verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and whom will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that we could even be here today, gathered as your people, as your church, and we thank you for your holy word. Write our minds as we read through this scripture together this morning, and help us apply it to our lives as we leave today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. we're back in Acts. We're going to introduced here to a man named Stephen this morning. We're going to spend a few weeks looking at his life lived for Jesus over the next couple of weeks. Where are we in this grand story here? Where are we in Acts? We kind of jumped back in. Well, Jesus has died and rose from the grave. He has witnessed and been with his apostles, and he's ascended into heaven. He sent his Spirit upon them and this church in Jerusalem. Many signs and wonders, and the Word of God is being proclaimed. Thousands are being saved, and Jewish leaders do not like what they see, and they continue to pressure and persecute all those who follow Jesus. We're about to transition from the gospel being carried in Jerusalem, and we'll see it spread into the surrounding areas. This happens through persecution. This happens through martyrdom. But first, we're going to look at this church this morning and see what's going on with them. Church growth has problems. First, a statement here on the church, and then a complaint. The statement is the disciples were increasing. This means the church was growing. That's what's going on here. More people coming in to hear the apostles preach and teach. They're coming in, they're hearing the Word of God, and they're being made new by the Spirit of God through believing in the Son. More and more added every day. That's what it says. Can you imagine what this would look like, feel like, be like? Going from, say, 30, 35, 40, like we have in here most Sunday mornings, to, say, 3,000 people overnight. One afternoon, 40 to 3,000. This is what happened in Acts chapter 2. This is what we're witnessing here. We would have to go back to house churches, right? To have this kind of growth. We're not fitting 3,000 in this place, right? There's churches that can fit 3,000 in one service, two services. There's churches that can fit 20,000 people. Maybe if we could fit 150 in here, shoulder to shoulder, we could do 10 services on Saturday and another 10 on Sunday to get to 3,000 people. That's just getting them through the doors, too. That's not all the other problems that would arise. Can you imagine this? The situation they are in? On our pages, throwing this many people together with this many varied backgrounds, growth equals issues that needs to be addressed. What is the issue in our text today? Well, it's the complaint. Hellenist widows are being ignored by the Hebrews. Why is this a big deal? The church and its main attraction here, apart from the miracles and preaching the word, was the fact that they were taking care of the poor. They were doing what they said they were going to do. Who are the widows? Well, they're poor outcasts of society that are in need of care. So this is the need, but why the neglect? Well, the Hebrews here are Jewish converts into Christianity. That's who they are. They're Hebrews is their name given to them by their heritage. We see this group of people all throughout the Old Testament. They live in and around Jerusalem. That's who they are. Who are the Hellenists? They are Greek-speaking Jews. So Jewish converts. They were not Jewish. Now they are Jewish from outside of Jerusalem. Greek-speaking. Did our apostles just not like these people? No, that's not it. So what's the reason for the neglect? Language is the main reason. Hellenists primarily used Greek. Now, Hebrews would have known some Greek, but they primarily used Aramaic. And in the synagogues, they would have used the Hebrew language. Also, the Hellenists, being influenced by their own backgrounds, they're not from Jerusalem, they're from the Greek culture, they were less involved at the temple, which is where most of our church presence in Acts is taking place, right? It's back on your maps again this morning, Solomon's Porch. That's where they've been in Acts. Last week when we looked at spiritual gifts and Jesus teaching, he was teaching in Solomon's Porch. That's where the church is mainly taking place. And the Hellenists are not always there. So, not around each other as often and speak different languages. This is the divide here. This is the reason for the neglect, but should there have been any neglect? No. The church is called to all people. They know this. That's why they work for a solution. Wealth doesn't matter. Background doesn't matter. Race doesn't matter. All made in the image of God. All are sinners. All in need of helping hand from time to time. And all in need of the Savior. Yes. Jesus and his ministry on earth was completely made up of serving the very people neglected here on our pages we read today. The very people neglected in our lives today. He did not go to the cross to pay for your sins, just so we could turn away from the very people he sought to help in the first place. Before we turn our attention to the solution they find to their problem, we should ask ourselves, where are we falling short? In what areas are we in need of a better solution? In our own lives and in the church, what is going on in our lives that needs to be corrected? This is what church growth looks like. This is what a true church is focused on God looks like. I think it is said that crazy is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. That's what you hear people say. This is often what we see in the world around us, right? Amen. I know somebody else did it, but I can do it better. I know it didn't work out for them, but it's not going to be the same for me. We see it in our political landscape. In what area of your life does this describe you? In what area as a church does it describe us? This is why things change. This is why we have a food pantry on the horizon for us. To see where we fall short and to do nothing about it is not what our Bible calls the church. The church is sinners saved by Jesus, gathering and helping others. We will fall short, but we cannot leave it short. 9 times 2 will never equal 17. What have we been leaving short? Our text has the apostles seeing where they fall short, and next is their solution. Church growth has solutions. Hellenist widows are being neglected. That's the problem. I want us to notice two things about their solution this morning. First, the apostles did not say, this is not our problem. They did not say, send them to someone else. This is our default, right? Someone else will help. Some other group will help. The Hebrews here and the Hellenists have different backgrounds. I could see many places using this to shrug this issue off. Go form a Hellenistic church and take care of your own. This makes sense in our brains. Our default is to gather with those who we have the most in common with. Sometimes our default is to not gather with anyone, right? We just don't want to be around people. Someone else will help. Just leave me out of it. The problem with this mindset is it does not line up with Scripture. On Sunday nights, we've been talking about issues in between the church and the world, or maybe in between the church itself. And we've been talking about this straight line of who God is. His word's always true, never changing. That's who God is. It's a straight line. Oftentimes it's above our heads, and our lives go up and reach it at some points. We're biblical in some areas in our life, and then we fall down. Some areas we're not so biblical. And then back up in some areas, and our life ends up looking like this wave in the ocean. And what God has for us is true and never changing. Straight line above us. Why does our line look so different? Well, we're selfish. We like our own ways. We like our own little circles. We're also sinners. We're also emotional. Our decisions made by emotions and not logical, rational thinking. And at times, certainly not biblical thinking. If the church on our pages was being biblical in all areas all the time, there would not be a Hellenistic issue, right? Jesus said, look after the widows and the poor and the neglected. Jesus said, when you do for the least of these, you do for me. Mm-hmm. He said, serve as I serve. He said, follow me. None of these statements allow you to let someone in your life go without. They do not allow the apostles here to allow someone to go without. I want to also point out that none of our statements from Jesus mention helping the church alone. None of our statements mention help those who you like alone. Hebrews and Hellenists, they weren't in the same friend circles. Who needs help that you would otherwise not talk to? The other thing to see here is that the apostles did not take up this task on their own. So they didn't send them away from the church, but they also did not do it themselves. It comes off as a bit harsh on our pages, doesn't it? I don't know if you guys read it like this. It comes off as if they're too good for the situation. We're the preacher, send them away. Someone else will take care of them. It's not what it is. You remember last week in our look at our faith statements and our spiritual gifts, we said everyone's gifted to serve, but you're not to assume to be gifted in all areas, so serve where you have been gifted. We're all called to serve and to help and to share the gospel, but we're not all called to be all things to all people. Let the teacher teach. Let the preacher preach. Let those who find joy in serving to lead in the serving. This is what the apostles are saying here. We're called to preach and spread God's word and to lead God's church. In leading others well, they find ways for others to serve. They didn't stand by and say someone else will do it. Rather, they reached out to those who were called to do it. As a gathered church body, find those among you who can do this. Let's send them forward. Notice our list here is Greek names. So not only did the apostles call on others to step up, but they called on others to use their own strengths. Why Greeks to lead in this ministry? Well, the people they're helping are Greek. Because they know these people, know their needs, and know their language well. Two of our leaders here today, we know very well. They stand out to us. Stephen, mentioned here, we're going to talk about for the next couple of weeks. And Philip, mentioned here, we're going to see him and Chapter 8, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and we're going to see him again in chapter 21. This two are known to us here. What about the rest? Well, the rest of the seven are never mentioned again. They're never in the Bible again. This does not mean Stephen and Philip are more important. We're actually seeing here the deacons of the church. For the very first time, we've got pastors, elders, and we've called the seven deacons out of the church to be servant leaders. That's what this list is. Seven deacons to serve the church. Stephen and Philip are not more important. What it does mean is that some will play roles that will never be known. And that's okay too. Most of us prefer it that way, right? We want to play the roles that we're not known in. Serving God is the goal. Serving others is the goal. Unnoticed by the world does not mean unappreciated, because we serve the Creator. We serve the one who gave His Son for us, and that's appreciation enough for us. The person holding that baby in the nursery, by the way, we need a nursery worker in case we have babies. That person holding the baby in the nursery is just as important as the preacher on the stage. Well, that can't be right. It is right. The preacher delivers the gospel. The one holding the baby allows the parents to hear the gospel. Pray together, worship together, read God's word together. Now we plan on getting a preschool church up and going, but it's going to stop at preschool, because after that we want the whole family to worship together, to read God's word together, to pray together. No one's more important than another. We all play our parts to be the church we're called to be. What is your role is the question. And are you doing it? Let's say we had a ministry here. to elderly women that can't get out of their homes, they can't leave their house, they need assistance to leave. And we go to them and we offer haircuts and stylings right in their house. Maybe some of you go, I want to do that. Or maybe you say, I'm already doing that. What I can tell you is, I'm not the one to lead that ministry. Right? You don't want me doing that. Here's what their hair would look like. This is my hair ministry. The church grows and flourishes when you serve where you have been gifted, and everyone serves somewhere. Hear that. You serve where you've been gifted, where you've been called to be. Sometimes you don't want to be there, though you need to be there. You know you do. And everyone serves somewhere. That's it. Find the gaps in our ministries and fill those gaps with Spirit-filled servants sharing the love of God and the gospel of Jesus and meeting needs where they can. This is the church. This kind of church will grow. This kind of church will run into obstacles. This kind of church will meet those obstacles with biblical solutions. Our question is, are we rising to solve the issues and meet needs, or do we let them pass by? Are we serving where we should, or are we hoping others step up instead? A side note to that is, you can't serve in your church if you're not in your church.
Amen.
You want to start a group? Let's talk. You have some ministry on your heart? Let's do it. If you see an issue in our church that needs to be corrected, please talk to me. This is how we be the church we're called to be. Do you believe in Jesus? This is always first. First and foremost, do you have faith in the Son?
Amen.
Then are you serving in His church? Then are you serving others? Let's move on here to our last section. The gospel makes anything possible. Let's read verse 7 together here. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Let's look at this together quickly. What is this telling us? God's word continued to spread, right? And people were continuing to be saved, even priests. I want to look at the why this is happening and to the who this is happening to. First, the why. Our instinct is to say, because the apostles continue to preach. That's why it's spreading. That's why it's growing. This is right on its surface, but it's not the whole story. We just looked at it.
Amen.
It's also because others were serving where they could. Peter reached more people with the gospel because he did not have to stop and take care of every issue on his own. Everyone serving is why the church continues to push the gospel forward on our pages. All parts working is how it spreads. The pastor can preach because he's not holding the baby in the nursery. That would be quite the sight if I did both. Maybe I'd get a, it wouldn't be distracting at all, right? The people serving and showing God's love in the community is how it spreads. One more thing here, the Holy Spirit. You'll never hear me leave out the Holy Spirit. It's the Amen. Only reason I could stand before you. I guarantee you that.
Amen.
It's the only reason these apostles can devote themselves to prayer and to the Word of God. It's the only reason these deacons can serve in this community. The Holy Spirit drives everything. We could be the biggest and fastest growing church the world has ever seen, and if it's not guided by the Holy Spirit in our lives and in this building, then we're not a growing church, but a growing club for entertaining.
Amen.
We may entertain well, bust out those fog machines, but without the Spirit moving, we leave everyone dead in their sins. We cannot forget that. I've seen this personally. I've heard of this. I've looked up churches that are growing massively, and I find their websites, and I see all the wonderful missions going on. Praise God for the missions. But the number of times you go overseas does not equal salvation. We need to be doing more missions. I see all their wonderful missions, and I pull up a service and start watching, and my heart sinks. Many places like this call themselves churches, and the world uses them as examples of churches. Once they get so big, there's the church, there it is. Thousands of people gathered with no gospel in sight. Sometimes it's shocking. No Holy Spirit. Repentance replaced. Repentance replaced. The thing you have to do to turn from your sins, to believe in your Savior. Repentance replaced with praising sin. At this point, thousands of people are gathered just to hear their own voices. That's it. Worshipping the world is what they are doing. Places like this may have more worldly reaching power, but a handful of true Christians moving in the Spirit of God and leading people to the Son of God will move way more people to see the glory of God in the end.
Amen.
This is what is on our pages. Forget about the numbers, thousands and thousands and thousands. It's the Spirit of God moving. Always remember the Holy Spirit or dead in your faith, the Holy Spirit or hell for eternity. This is true no matter how big your ministry is. Faith alone saves, and the Holy Spirit in your life delivers this faith.
Amen.
Can we see this Spirit moving in us, in your lives, in this place? One more thing. Who did the gospel reach in our text today? The priests. We've run into Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes quite a bit in the Bible. They were all priests of various hierarchies. We've seen the high priest here in Acts. Who are these priests on our page today? Well, in the context of our passage, they would be the low men on the totem pole, so to speak. Thousands of priests serving in poor villages and communities. They were also poor themselves. So our church in our passage today reached them because they're serving the same community. That's one reason. It also reached them because they were serving the poor, which included these priests. They were also poor. Also reached them because these hard-hearted men, which is who we all are before we run into the gospel. These hard-hearted men were pierced by the gospel they heard and by the charitable acts they had witnessed and the Holy Spirit moving within them. Let's close with this. Why is this important? Why is this important to see here? The salvation of priests. Well, first, you do not know who you are reaching. You just don't. When you serve and share the gospel, some will hear and some will not. Some will see and some will not. The care and the love and the gospel is up to you. But the heart change is up to God.
Amen.
These priests were among those who wanted Jesus dead. Think about that. Wanted Jesus dead, and now have faith in him. This leads to the second point. No one is too far gone. No one has done enough or said enough weak, wicked and evil things that the gospel cannot penetrate. No one. Though we all have someone who we treat as unsavable. Two kinds of people in this world, those who are saved and those who need saving. If you are not sharing, I hope it is because you know their salvation is secure. Oh, how wicked it is to leave someone dead in their sins with no words from you. The Holy Spirit can change any heart. We must live like we believe this. Some of these disciples on our pages, thousands of disciples, the church growing by the thousands, some of them on our pages today yelled, "Crucify him," at the cross. Jesus is the only way, and anyone who believes in him is saved, is made new. The old, no matter how wicked, no matter how angry, no matter how sinful, the old matters no more. That's the gospel. Whose heart is on your mind today? Who have you been treating as unsavable? We talked about service, and maybe they're not serving. We talked about church, maybe they're not gathering. We talked about the only difference between heaven and hell is not the sins, but rather being spirit-filled. All are sinners, and sinners are saved at the Holy Spirit. It is this Spirit that changes lives, that drives you to church, that drives you to serve. Maybe someone on your heart right now has never shown the Spirit to be real in their life. Never. Pray for them. Reach out to them. Don't wait for them to change. Remember where you were in your life when you were saved. It would have never happened without the gospel. Who needs it from you today? Maybe, just maybe, this person is you. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved and you'll have this Spirit today. You'll be a sinner saved by God today. Then we can find you a place to serve. Where can we do better in our lives? Where can we do better as a church? Where can we commit to serve today? Is he your Savior? Are you serving him? Bring anything, any needs at all to your Heavenly Father as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time we have together in your holy word. We thank you for this church represented on our pages in Acts. We thank you that we can see them falling short, because we know we all do. We can see them leaning into one another for solutions, because we know this is what we all have to do. We thank you for this example. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit moving in the lives of these believers here and in our own context here today. We thank you for your Son Jesus and all that he's come and done for us. His life on the cross for us. Help us to remember that it was not only for us, it was for everyone in our lives, saved or unsaved. Who are they? Help us reach out to them. Everyone needs Jesus. They need to hear about him. They need to come to him. Help us deliver this message today. If it's ourselves that needs to change, open our hearts to this change. Help us realize it. Help us see it. Help us lean into someone today that will help us make this change today. Be with us now as we leave this place and go into our lives. Help us all be missionaries wherever we end up today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.